Present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and the service that's associated with providing for the body of Christ. And so, our God and Father, we just look to Thee this morning for a blessing as we consider these things, and we just count on Thee for Thy help in the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thought it might be nice to start at verse 2 in Romans 12, and maybe go back to verse 8.
Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
We spent quite a bit of time on verse 1 yesterday, but after meeting, the question was asked, can you give some practical examples of giving our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord? And it might be good to do give some very real life practical examples. Sometimes we, you know, talk about these things in a little bit of an abstract way, but maybe that would be helpful, especially for the younger ones.
One of the keys to that answer be found in the understanding of what sacrifice really is. Sacrifice costs us something, right? And so, if we're to lay our lives down on the altar of sacrifice, that means ultimately that there's going to be some sort of cost that I'm going to incur as a result of that. Might be my time, could be my money, could be a whole number of things in my life that I have to maybe part with for the benefit of the Lord and His people, His service, whatever it might be.
And lest we consider that all of these examples are just focused directly on what we would maybe consider to be spiritual things. One of the greatest sacrifices that I could think of that would fall under this would be motherhood. Mothers that take their children under their wing and seek to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I can't think on a just purely practical level of many more sacrifices where an individual gives up that which would be for their own enjoyment or whatever, for the sake of another. Mothers give up a lot. They sacrifice a lot for the sake of their children.
You know, we have the reading meetings, and it's not just the us brothers that ought to be taking heart to what is said. Young sisters should also, because if the Lord blesses and there's motherhood, they're the ones that teach mostly at home, especially in the younger years, and being grounded in the foundations of Christianity, it's not just a brother thing. Sisters play a big part in motherhood especially. So while not teaching vocally, there is teaching at home. And older sisters teaching younger sisters. Maybe even sister-to-sister ministry where you're encouraging, seeking to draw where a brother couldn't, or a more public sphere it couldn't be, things can't be brought out. So that's important. I was thinking of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and they were to be without spot and blemish. And we can think of, perhaps there's heredity, maybe our old nature has spots, but could it be also what the animal is feeding on? I'm not much of a shepherd guy, but could it be what the animal is feeding on could affect how they appear on the outward, which is, of course, comes from the inward? And so how do we apply it to ourselves now? What are we feeding on, really? The inputs that we have in our minds, whether it's in our ears or our eyes or what we allow ourselves to experience, if it's the things of this world, if it's the things of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, if it's those things, can it be a sacrifice acceptable to the Lord? No. We need to, as it says in 1 John, confess those things to the Lord. And He is the one that cleanses us from that unrighteousness, and we can be acceptable unto Him. All that old man stuff and the things that please have pleasure to the old man, that doesn't make the living sacrifice that's acceptable to the Lord. And He deserves a living sacrifice. He deserves us to be, for us to take the time and consider, is the thing I'm seeing, is the thing I'm listening to acceptable to the Lord? Does it please Him? Does it honor Him? And if it doesn't, it's bad food. And I should seek before the Lord to put in good food, which is ministry, hymns, and just the wholesome things, not the things of this world.
To consider again another practical example, as Mark was just mentioning, the other one that I can think of very distinctly is spiritual fathers. The Apostle Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. Why don't we have many spiritual fathers? Because it costs a great deal. It requires an enormous amount of investment. Thankfully, I can count a number of the brothers that are here with us in this room as spiritual fathers that have taken the time and invested in cultivating a relationship with me, because it's not possible, really, to be effectual in shepherding. Maybe there's a necessity to come alongside and offer a bit of exhortation on some things that there may be in my life that need adjustment if there's not previously a relationship. And in order to develop that relationship, there has to be time and energy associated with that. A tremendous sacrifice, and I speak this to myself, but there are a lot of younger, kind of middle-aged brothers in here that have the potential to be greatly used of the Lord as spiritual fathers to a lot of the younger ones here. And I would just encourage you that the sacrifice is worthwhile.
I'll give another practical example that we... So Beth and I have enjoyed having some of the young couples in our home on a monthly basis, and a little over a month ago, we took up the topic of hospitality. And hospitality is a very practical example of what we have here, a living sacrifice. So, as we all know, us guys are, it's a little bit easier for us. We invite somebody over to the house to spend some time together. And, you know, we might need to do a little extra digging so that we have something to share from Scripture. But it's a real sacrifice on the parts of our spouses, our wives, especially if we haven't really planned ahead. And there's been lots of times that I've been the recipient of someone. In fact, we were just talking about it earlier in this camp. They've left now, but the Erlinsons were, we were talking over a meal, and they were planning to reach out to one of the families in Aberdeen. And the last time we were in Aberdeen, we showed up for breaking of bread and Sunday school relatively unannounced. We were headed to Morningstar. And between the breaking of bread and Sunday school, we had several invites to go to lunch at somebody else's home. And that means a lot. And in the case that we experienced, they completely changed what they were serving because they heard a little mention that we enjoy halibut, and they had some in their freezer, and so they completely changed the menu and invited us over for a lovely meal on our way up to Morningstar. That's a sacrifice that is well-pleasing. We are commanded to be hospitable. And the blessing flows both ways when we do that. And I think that's the beautiful thing of sacrifice, if I might put it this way, that we may look at it and we may recognize that there is a cost to us. And I'm not minimizing that cost, but I will guarantee that the blessing will far outweigh the cost in every single situation.
Perhaps I'll just mention, too, that yesterday a young brother and I were visiting, and a particular older brother came up in the conversation. And this younger brother said to me, I hope that young older brother keeps on going on, because he's been a lot of help to a lot of the younger ones. So may that encourage each of us that are older, and all of us are older than somebody, so there are younger ones looking up to you. And are they learning from you and from each of us a life of self-sacrifice? Because we make choices every day all day long, what are we going to do with our time and our other resources? And if we're just going to live for ourselves, it's going to manifest itself in certain ways. But if we're in the habit, because we know the Lord delights in that, of using what we have, our time, any abilities we have, like there's a pipe leaking over in the main bathroom over there, and maybe there's a plumber here that'd be interested in looking into that, for example. There are a million other things, ways that we can deny ourselves taking time that we want to do something else and spend it for others, and there will be blessing in that. And from the standpoint of sacrifice, I just want to give an example. Most of you know that I like ice cream. And if I gave myself to eating a lot of ice cream, I could become overweight pretty easily. Now, if I got myself 40 or 50 pounds overweight and I went into the doctor because I was having issues, he might tell me, you have to lose some weight and quit eating ice cream. Now, if I give it up at that point, there's not much sacrifice in that. But if along the way I can see, you know what, I really shouldn't be eating this much. It isn't honoring to the Lord. And so I give it up. That's a sacrifice, and there's benefit. The Lord appreciates that if we're doing it for Him. Others appreciate it if we do it for them. So, yeah, I was going to go here, but I'll take you to the store. A million things we could be that way, where we're thinking of others and esteeming others better than ourselves so that we give whatever we can to help them out in their situation. It's a very simple thing, really.
I'd like to give a couple examples that might be more relevant in particular to the young people. We know that as you grow up, you become a little more independent and able to make your own decisions, has been mentioned. And a decision that is worth making is making sure that you attend the assembly meetings. There's entertainment options out there. There's work that can get in the way. All sorts of things can cause you to have some other thing to do than to be at the meetings. And so in that sense, attending the meetings, when you have other options in your life, can be a sacrifice, but it's a worthwhile sacrifice. And then also, as you're a young person, you're normally thinking ahead what you might do in your life and perhaps schooling, things like that. I know there's been more than one young person who has been offered a free ride through university or college, scholarships and things like that. But what came with it was a time commitment that was going to take them away from the meetings. And I know that there have been those that have turned that down so that they could make sure that they were at the meetings.
It's been said that you can kind of capture those things that we're talking about as far as sacrifices in time, talent, and treasure. And at different stages of our life, we have more of those resources than others, right? I mean, as a young person, maybe don't have a whole lot of treasure. They have time and talent. I know a young lady that's here with us that tries to make it a point. I can't remember the exact how often she does this, but she goes to a nursing home to play piano at the nursing home for the older folks there. So some time and some talent, right? Maybe not treasure, but that's a sacrifice. She could have been doing something else. And the cool thing is not only is she doing that, but she brings somebody else with her, which extends that. And so, but then maybe we get a little bit older in our life, and maybe we have less time, and maybe a little bit of monetary resources. And so maybe there's always that opportunity, regardless of where we are in our lives, where one or two maybe of those resources would be available to be sacrificed to the Lord.
Nathan, as to attending the assembly meetings, it's not a form. It's not something to do just because you're encouraged to. It gives an opportunity for the Spirit of God to bring one more thing before you. I don't know how it is with anybody else, but for me, I haven't regretted going to an assembly meeting. There's always something more the Spirit of God wants to draw our thoughts and our hearts and affections to. And it can be, and we're missing out. It could be that needed thing in our lives to, as it were, you're at a fork in the road. And it could be that extra word that is needed, the Spirit of God wants to bring before you. And as our brother brought out, you know, even when you don't feel like reading the Word of God, read it. What more could God give? That's a treasure. He's given us everything that would pertain to life and godliness. And the Lord, we're not asked to do any more than what the Lord Jesus did. He walked the walk perfectly. And He wants us to be in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, be in His Word, be in prayer to the Father, and all those things. So it's just an extra, I look at it, source of blessing to be at the assembly meetings.
It's interesting if you read in Luke chapter 12 with respect to servants. Just read verse 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. And then verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And then verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Called to be waiting, watching, and doing. And there's a blessing that is associated with it. And that's what has been brought out here generally, that there is a joy, as Steve was saying, that far exceeds the loss that we might experience ourselves by giving up time, resources, whatever it is in our life, for the benefit of the service of God. We, the Lord turns around and he pours a blessing into our lives by giving up whatever little we choose to give up, and we become we benefit far more, I guess, but is what I'm trying to say. In the end, don't we? There's a blessing attached.
I was thinking of an example of this brought out very practically, and my dad. There probably isn't very many people that are older in this room that didn't experience my dad working on some of their equipment in some form or another back 20 years ago or more. And that's a talent that was distinct to my dad, that he understood mechanical things probably better than anybody that I've ever known. Unfortunately, it's not genetic. And the good thing was, I was just talking to a couple of the brothers about this. I spent a lot of time at the home of another family growing up as my dad went over there to work on equipment and things like that. I was joking with one of the brothers that And I think my dad and the other brother that would ask him for assistance maybe were making up more problems than there actually were, just because they enjoyed being together and they talk about the Lord's things together. I spent a lot of time over at that home because of that. And then, so there was a huge amount of blessing that was associated with that sacrifice. And you know what? The Lord is no man's debtor. My dad very rarely would take money for those things. And you know, now mom and dad are not extremely well-to-do. And the Lord has provided them medical insurance through the assembly. Paying for that, the Lord is no man's debtor. That sacrifice back then, the Lord took notice of, and he's been taking very good care of my mom and dad because of that sacrifice.
It was alluded to that they had many teachers but not many fathers, and the Apostle Paul in that second epistle would say, I would very gladly spend and be spent for you. And so he is quite the example of a living sacrifice. At the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, the New Translation says, for I am already being poured out, and the time of my release is come. So the end of his life, he could look back and see, I believe this is a thought of the drink offering being poured out. There was no reserve left. Everything had been spent in his life for the care of the saints.
So the Lord has outfitted each Christian with a certain line of service. This chapter goes into the gifts. This is not an exhaustive list of gifts that he's committed to the church, but just a few that are listed. But you know, we've been speaking about, in general, our lives should be put on the altar of sacrifice. It's our intelligent service. It only makes good sense, given what the Lord has given up for us, that we now turn our lives over to him and let him use us as he sees fit. And it's been said this morning that there's many facets to that in our life. And we need to be willing to lend our bodies, our minds, and our time to whatever that might take in, but in particular, the Lord has given us, each one, something to do very specifically. And that is something that we need to be before him about and exercised about, so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. You know, in Matthew 25, it says that when speaking about the talents, we might liken this to, I suppose, a spiritual gift. Verse 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. We find that what happened is that these ones who received the talents, and again, some had less, some had more, but they traded with them, and they exercised them, and they produced more than what they had received. And I think what this tells us is that we need to be exercised about what the Lord would have us to do, and and to trade with that gift, if you will. But, you know, to do so, we need to be in the right frame of mind, right state of soul. And we've been considering some of these things where it starts out with an appreciative heart that would then work in our lives to want to give ourselves over to the Lord. But then we also need that separation from the world. We need a change of thinking that we've had in verse 2. And then we're prepared, you might say, to be ready for his service. But maybe somebody could explain to us then, at the end of verse 2, how do you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How do we do that?
I'll just point out something in the portion that you just turned us to in Matthew 25. I'd just like to note verse 21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In learning what the Lord has given us to do, I believe that there's a principle that starts with whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it with thy might. And so it may be something little, and I want to encourage especially those of you that are maybe in your late teens, early 20s, be willing to take up the exercise of teaching a Sunday school class. And pour yourself into something like that. There's immense blessing there. And it's something you might say that is relatively small. You know, maybe it's the toddlers or just, you know, they're very young, and you're teaching them the basic principles of the Word of God. It's sad and interesting to me that oftentimes in the different assemblies that I've been in, it's hard to find Sunday school teachers. Be faithful in that which is least, in that little thing, and the Lord is going to give you something more, something greater to do. It may be something as simple as recognizing that there's some service that needs to be done. There is an immense amount of joy in service, and it's one of the reasons why we run camp. The way we do. We could rent a camp that has staff and the meals are all provided, and we just wake up in the morning and we come down and sit down to a nice meal. But if we did that, all of us would be the losers, because we would be trading money instead of the joy of service. And I hope that each one of you young people have experienced a little bit of the joy of service, of lending your efforts to the good of the rest. And if I can say from experience, Josh, in the answer to your question, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we do those things that the Lord has asked us to do, whether it's something small, we find out later on, generally, that it was that good and that perfect will of God. And we find out the Lord is so gracious to give us a little glimpse of the blessing, the benefit that comes from our little efforts. And we won't know the full tally, you might say, the full blessing until a coming day. But oftentimes the Lord gives us a little insight into some blessing that has resulted when we have been willing to sacrifice and to do what He's asked us to do. And I can tell you from experience, it's far beyond what we can imagine. There's a principle in Scripture, and I know I've mentioned this multiple times to multiple people, but a couple of years ago, Dave Mearns had a meeting that was really impactful in my life, and he titled that meeting, Faith Anticipates Blessing. And the beauty of it, if you trace it through Scripture, each individual that had faith and obeyed whatever the Lord gave them to do, the blessing that resulted is far, far greater than what they anticipated. I'll just give you a little example. Ruth. Ruth left her family, her kindred, and she said, Naomi, I want to serve your God. I want to go with you to your land. And where you live, I'll live. And where you die, I'm going to die. That was faith. Anticipating a blessing. She had no comprehension that she was going to be in the line of Christ. That she was going to be married to Boaz. No comprehension. And the same thing is true with us. If we step out in faith and we're willing to be obedient to the Word of God and to do whatever He asks us to do, there will be blessing that's far beyond what we can imagine. And I've proved that over and over and over again in my life. And young people, prove it yourself. I believe that this verse that we're looking at is just that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
I think it helps too to answer that question to see that verse 2 is one whole. It all goes together. Sometimes we get the question, I want to do something for the Lord. That's verse 1. That's dedication. I don't know what it is. But we talked yesterday about verse 2 a little bit, where it speaks of not being conformed. That's being separate from the world and then being transformed. And that's by being occupied with the Lord Jesus. Now the more we do that, the more clearer we'll see the path that the Lord has for us. The more we're conformed to the world, the more we lose spiritual discernment. Now you think of Abraham, when the famine came, he went to Egypt. And he became conformed to the world for that part of his life. And he started thinking things that didn't make any sense at all in the sight of the Lord. But when he went back, he regained spiritual discernment. There was a transformation going on. And we talked about how sometimes that needs to happen over and over in our lives. And so God has a will for us, and it's perfect, and it's acceptable. But for us to see what the Lord wants us to do, there needs to be that separation from the Lord and transformation from the inside out to see that. And so every step we take, we might say, that is with the Lord, our path as to what He wants us specifically to do in our lives will become more clear. And so it's an active thing. It's proving it. It's not sitting and waiting till you hear a voice saying, this is what you need to do. It's not going to happen. But if you are occupied with the Lord, He will give you delight for that day, for that week, for what he wants you to do. And so, you know, it's good to go through the three sections of the verse, but they all work together. Separation from the world, transformation by occupation with the Lord will lead to him revealing to us his will for our lives individually. And then like we said too, we're getting close to the end of the meeting here. When we do all these things, we're prepared for service. Consecration comes next. We have one more thing in verse 3, which is humiliation. We need to do all this with lowly thoughts of self. But then and only then, the Lord is ready to give us something to do, which is consecration. But then we'll find out, too, that we're not alone in that. We're part of this greater whole. And in verse 4 and 5, it speaks of being members of one body. So wouldn't it be beautiful if in that body all the members have gone through these first three verses and are prepared now for service of the Lord? That body will be strong. It'll be like in Ephesians 4 where all the members, they add to it, they compact it together, they build it up. But for us to be a help in that, or you know, we can all be a little help, but we want to be more of a help. We want to be doing more in the Lord's service. We have to go through these first three verses. It's individual preparation for service that then will lead to us being able to work together with other members of the body. Sometimes speak of lack of power. Well, maybe this might be part of it. There's very little dedication to the Lord. There's very little separation from the world. So there's very little power. But if we all went through that, in dependence upon the Lord, we'll all be very valuable members within the body, and it'll be to the blessing for the whole body.
So I think the, as you say, Mark, kind of occupation with Christ is key, and maybe get a little bit of this in John 21, where we have Peter in verse 21 saying, Peter seeing him, that is John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter was occupied with somebody else's service. What shall this man do? And the Lord's saying, Peter, get your eyes on me. I've got something for you to do. Follow me in the path. So I think just just practically speaking, simply put, we need to be following Christ. And I think it was Mary, was it not? And said, whatsoever he shall say unto you, do it. It's obedience. And so it's not, I think young people struggle with, what is it that the Lord wants me to do? Well, we do need to know his will. We need to prove it by knowing it, but we need to be doing it. And it's always been a help to me when it comes to this question as to the will of God, and especially with respect to service, as we're talking about it here, and an exercise of a gift, is that we just need to follow the Lord, be obedient to what he has asked us to do, and whatever, if he's placed something on your heart, just do it. You don't need to worry about, what is my gift? Don't worry about that. Just if the Lord has laid something on your heart, do it. And if he's done that, your gift will manifest itself over time. The Lord has outfitted us with what we need for his service. We just need to be obedient. Follow him. And the rest, can I say, will take care of itself.
Another Canadian put it this way, Gordon Hayhoe, if you don't know what your gift is, devotedness will tell you. Just go on with the Lord, and it will become manifest to you. But you have to go to the Lord about it. Your brethren might be a little help to you, but just go and be yourself before the Lord, and you'll find things for your hands to do, and maybe your other talents, like we've been speaking to. And I just want to add this at the end. The only one who was ever in the world who deserved to be served came here to serve. I am among you as he that serveth, the Lord Jesus said. Let's imitate that.
was thinking of those verses in Philippians that say, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And like has already been said, we may not know what that is, but we do know one thing. There isn't any description of idleness here. Think of that vineyard, the parable of the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20. And verse 6, it says, "In about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" We know for sure that that isn't what we're asked to do. And when we talk about proving, maybe it's going to take a process of kind of figuring out what it isn't, but we're not. Like, you guys will never hear me start a hymn. I've figured out the hard way that that's not my gift. And so maybe it's a process of elimination sometimes, but be doing that which the Lord would call us to do, to put it on our heart. The Lord will direct our hearts as to what specifically he has for us to do. And it may be more than one thing. That's another thing. When we talk about these gifts, I think like Josh brought out the talents. There was some that had one talent, some that had three, and some that had five. That isn't what matters. What matters is that we're actually exercising those talents and not standing all the day idle.
Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we just thank thee for what's been before us this morning, and we pray that we might be exercised to occupy until thou dost come, Lord Jesus. Pray that for our young people here, and the younger ones especially, that they might have taken away something this morning, their hearts, and things might have been made clear to them, as we know they're in times in their life where they're trying to figure a lot of these things out. And we just pray that thou just lead them along, help them, and all of us too, Lord Jesus, to follow after thee and to be consumed with what would concern thyself, and that all of us, Lord Jesus, might be willing to lay down our lives for the benefit of others and for thy glory in this world until thou dost take us home. Thank thee that thou hast committed unto every one of us something to do, and we pray that we might do it faithfully, Lord Jesus, in dependence upon thyself, and in humility as well, that we might seek to honor thee in our lives and bring glory to thyself. So we look to thee for thy rich blessing upon thy word, and we ask thee for thy help for the day going forward, asking this in thy name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.